You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Friday, July 23rd, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and today our episode is brought to you by the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. Winning your league starts with the right data. Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News provides you the edge you need in your fantasy football leagues. Locked On Fantasy Football is a daily podcast all year round, so your fantasy team never fails. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast, where podcasts are found. And while you are doing that, subscribe to this podcast as well, Locked On Jets. If you do that, we will deliver new episodes to your device each day as they are posted, as this is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets with new episodes each day, Monday through Friday, through most of the year. And while you're subscribing, also give this show a five-star review if you enjoy it. That helps us out quite a bit. Today is a very sad day for the New York Jets franchise. In case you did not hear, assistant coach Greg Knapp died yesterday after sustaining injuries in an accident when he was riding his bicycle a few days ago. We continue to keep Greg Knapp and his family in our thoughts. On today's show, we are going to talk about the environment into which the Jets are placing their rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson. I think if you have watched the Jets over the last decade plus, you understand the importance of making sure a young quarterback is put into a good situation. I'm not saying the only reason Sam Darnold and other young Jets quarterbacks have failed to develop is the poor supporting casts they have been given. But I think it clearly has been a contributing factor. Now, a few days ago, I got an email from a listener named Zach. Zach wrote a mailbag question. He said, I listened to the Draft Dudes podcast, and they're doing a series grading the situation of each rookie quarterback. Can you give your grades for Wilson and the Jets? The grades are from 1 to 5, 1 being a fail, 3 being average, and 5 being ideal. And the categories are coaching situation, quarterback room, offensive line, run game, pass catchers, and defense. Do you agree with these categories being a good indication of a quarterback situation, and can you grade them? And I thought this was a great question. In fact, I thought this was not just a mailbag question. I thought this was a topic for an entire episode. And, you know, if you ever have an idea for an episode, please let me know. I do take requests. And as I mentioned, Zach got this from the Draft Dudes podcast. That's a great podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network with some guys who might be familiar to you. It's hosted by Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs, both of whom host Locked On shows for AFC East teams. Joe is the host of Locked On Bills. Kyle's the host of Locked On Dolphins. So you'll hear them here during this regular season as the Jets prepare for games against the Bills and the Dolphins. And as I said, I think situation matters. So let's go through these categories. And I think we can begin with coaching situation. Coaching matters a lot. It matters from the standpoint of drilling in proper technique from quarterbacks. It comes from making sure quarterbacks have good mechanics, teaching them tips on, you know, this is how you read a defense. This is a good way to see what a defense is doing. You know, you can manipulate a defense this way pre-snap. If a defense does this, you should be thinking this. But I think it also matters when it comes to play calling. And of course, the last two seasons, the Jets have had some of the worst play calling in the NFL. And it also matters when it comes to game planning. You know, the game plan are the plays that you decide to run that week. And there's always this tension when you're game planning, because out of maybe 1,000 plays, you're putting, oh, say 100 into the game plan. Those are the 100 plays that you actually may run during the week. You know, when you have a playbook that's 1,000 plays big, you can't possibly prepare to run all those plays for one game. You only have 1 week of practice. So you have to choose which ones you think will work the best. And there's always a tension between finding the plays that you do well and finding the plays that will exploit an opponent's weakness. Now, on a good week, what you do well happens to be the same thing as what your opponent does poorly. So the two plays kind of mesh. But it's always about finding the proper mix. And every young quarterback's different, but I kind of lean on the side when you have a young quarterback of finding the things that young quarterback does well. I don't think you ever want to overcomplicate things for a young quarterback. But beyond that, it's also about picking plays that really fit together. Now, every NFL team has a playbook that's like 1,000 plays, but I've always said that I would take a very small playbook with plays that really fit together over a playbook that has 1,000 plays. Now, in the NFL, you know, ideally you do both because every NFL playbook is enormous. But essentially what you want to do is you want plays that look like each other but are executed differently. What a lot of teams do is they run essentially the same concept over and over, but they put all sorts of, they essentially disguise them. You know, they run it out of different personnel groupings, different formations. It's one of those things that helps make it look complex to the defense, but it makes it simple for the offense to run. There's a famous college football coach, Mike Leach, who's renowned for his offensive acumen. And that's essentially the basis of his offense. He's coached record-setting offenses at multiple different schools. He has a very simple playbook. His playbook only has a handful of plays, but they run things out of numerous formations. And he had this line that it's easier to show players how to stand in a new spot than it is to teach them how to do something new. And I think that's one of the things that teams can take advantage of if they're smart. And the other thing you want to do is you want to put tendencies on film and then break them. And you want plays that look similar to the defense but are really different. That's one of the things that got me excited about the hiring of Mike LaFleur, because he learned under Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, who knows whether he'll be as good as Kyle Shanahan. One of the things Kyle Shanahan's great at doing is building plays that look exactly the same at first, but then there's some sort of subtle change. One of the things that Kyle Shanahan offenses do best is play action, because the run plays look indistinguishable from the passing plays. You know, the blocking assignments look the same, pre-snap motion looks the same, the defense thinks that they're able to key on you, and then you throw a pass over their heads because you're running play action. You know, you run the ball, and then when they move up to sell out against the run, you throw it, you know, you run play action, you get them to bite on fakes, and you throw it over the top. So I think that these are all the aspects where coaching really matters. Now, sometimes I think coaches can get too much of the blame. You know, I think that happens across the NFL. If a unit performs well, everybody says the position coach is responsible. If the unit performs poorly, everybody says it's the position coach's fault. So you have to keep these things in context. One thing I always try and drill into these podcasts is avoiding absolutes. Most things in the NFL are not all or nothing. Most of them require nuance. And one of those things that requires nuance is judging the role of coaches. Coaches can only do so much, but their role does matter. And I think especially when you talk about building an offense that suits a quarterback. And part of this is figuring out what a quarterback does well, building concepts that the quarterback is capable of executing. And then once you have things that the quarterback's proficient in, creating new things. You know, essentially what I always like to see an offense do is coming up with a couple of staples, a couple of concepts that the quarterback executes really well. And then once the quarterback's totally confident on that, you can figure out new things to teach the quarterback. All of these things matter with coaching. So while sometimes I think coaches get too much of the credit if things go well and too much of the blame if they go poorly, I do think they matter quite a bit, especially in a quarterback's first few years as he's trying to navigate this league. I mean, I don't think anybody can say that the Jets did Sam Darnold any favors with the coaching they gave him. And I do think if with better coaching, maybe he could have drilled in better. You know, he could have had better footwork, and maybe he would not have lost his confidence if they developed a core package of plays that he was comfortable with. Now, how would I rate the Jets' coaching situation? I have to give them a 3 if it's a scale of 1 to 5, with 3 being average. I have to give them a 3 because there's just a lot of unknowns. You have a first-time head coach. You have a first-time offensive coordinator. So I don't really know how you judge that. So I'd give them a 3 as far as coaching goes. And I think it's going to be really important for Zach Wilson's development. Built Bar has a lot of delicious flavors. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know what your favorite is yet, though, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 each of every flavor. Not only is Built Bar delicious, it's healthy, too. And if you go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15. It's one word, LOCKED, number 5, for 15% off at built, BUILT.com. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Friday, talking about the environment the Jets are putting Zach Wilson into during his rookie season. We're going category by category through the important aspects of a young quarterback's surroundings and grading how well the Jets have done. The next category is the quarterback room. And I do think there are a couple of different ways the quality of the quarterback room can impact a young quarterback. The first is kind of a cliche. Do you have a quote-unquote veteran mentor? And I actually would argue the veteran mentor is overrated. I do think it can help to have somebody who's been around the league take a young quarterback under his wing, you know, show him, this is how I study for the playbook, this is how you prepare for practice, this is how I make sure I'm ready for each game, you know, this is what I'm doing off the field to prepare myself. And I do think it helps to have a teammate you can go to with questions, you know, maybe going to a teammate's like going to your brother opposed to going to a coach, which might be more like going to a parent. It might be easier to go to a teammate if you have an issue. That said, I do think it's a little overrated. I think you hire coaches to develop quarterbacks. You don't sign players to develop quarterbacks. You know, if you look at in the NFL, there are coaches who are quarterback gurus who have developed many successful quarterbacks. I don't think there are any like veteran mentor gurus whose presence make or break a quarterback. I don't think you can really blame the veteran mentor if a quarterback fails to develop. I don't think you can give him that much credit if a quarterback's successful. On some level, it's about the coaching and it's about the player himself. It's not about who you have as a mentor, as a teammate. So I think it can be a little overstated. I think the more practical impact is just making sure you have another quality quarterback in the room, because not every rookie is ready to play. And I personally think NFL teams do a horrible job with rookie quarterbacks. I think frequently they feel pressured to put rookie quarterbacks on the field before they're ready by the media and by fans, because they frequently have invested a first-round pick, a high draft pick in these quarterbacks. So the question is, why won't you put him on the field? Well, not everybody's ready to play on day one. And I think you want to make sure you have a quality alternative in case the quarterback, in case your rookie's not ready to play. Easier said than done. You know, if you had a quality alternative, you may not have needed to draft a quarterback. And frequently what happens is even when you have a quote-unquote solid veteran quarterback, the first time he struggles, everybody's calling for the rookie to get on the field. And if he has a really bad game, again, sometimes teams feel forced to put the rookie on the field before they're ready. So it's easier said than done. I think for this one, you'd have to say the Jets get a one. I think they've failed to put Zach Wilson in a quality quarterback room. I mean, there's no other way around it. The other two options are James Morgan and Mike White. I don't have a problem with like having a young backup quarterback. Sometimes the best backup quarterbacks are young. You know, I think back to 2012, that great RG3 year with Washington. They had Kirk Cousins as the backup. Kirk Cousins went out and won a critical game for them in Cleveland. They made the playoffs by one game that season, and Kirk Cousins won them a game in Cleveland because he went out and played well. So sometimes having a quality young backup is good. I just don't know that the Jets have done that. I don't think they've done very well in that area. The next aspect is the offensive line. And I don't think I need to explain to you, if you're a Jets fan, how important a good offensive line is with a young quarterback, because all I need to do is remind you of the last couple of seasons. You don't want your young quarterback to be constantly under duress. You don't want them to develop bad habits because they don't trust their offensive line. There's a story that I tell. I go back 9 years. I went to a preseason game between the Jets and the Giants, and the Giants' backup quarterback was David Carr. He's the brother of the Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr. David Carr was drafted by the Houston Texans in 2002. He was the number one overall pick. He was the first draft pick in their franchise history when they were an expansion team. And David Carr is famous for taking way too many hits early in his career because the Texans failed to build a quality offensive line around him. It's just unbelievable how many sacks he took, how many hits he took. And I went to that preseason game, and David Carr was backing up Eli Manning at this time. And it was one of the most amazing things I ever saw, because I was there in person, so you get to see more of the field. When he took the snap, his eyes were dropping to the offensive line. He did not trust his blockers because of what he had experienced early in his career with Houston. An offensive line, if it doesn't perform well, it can just rattle a quarterback. It can destroy him. It can throw off his internal clock. You want your quarterback to have confidence. Now, you're not, on some level, you do have to perform under pressure as a quarterback. You know, you have to be able to move within the pocket. You have to be able to hit throws with a guy in your face. But you can't have your young quarterback constantly running for his life. You're going to develop bad habits. You're going to ruin his confidence. That, to a large extent, is what happened with Sam Darnold. I am a little nervous about giving the Jets a good grade here, but I think they've made a very good effort the last 2 years to build up this offensive line. In fact, it's funny because heading into the NFL draft, there were lots of complaints. The Jets had done nothing to upgrade their offensive line for 2020, and now they have two new starters. And in addition to having two new starters, the two guys who were replaced have now become backups, where they're pretty decent backups. So because this line has not played together, I mean, I don't want to go that high, but I'd give them maybe like a 3.5 if I'm allowed to go into decimals. I think that the additions, you're hoping Elijah Vera Tucker pans out. The addition of Morgan Moses hopefully will help. You're hoping that Mekhi Becton grows a little bit. You're hoping Connor McGovern, after a year with the team, maybe is better shape this season. I mean, I'm optimistic about the offensive line, and that's the first I could say that in a long time. The next category is the run game. The run game is important because you don't want your young quarterback to be in bad downs and distances. You don't want him to constantly have third downs he's facing, third and longs. So you want to keep reasonable downs and distance. And again, you want to be able to set up play action. Although most of the numbers I've seen say that there's not really a great correlation between run game success and play action success. But still, you want to be able to protect the quarterback. That's one of the things that I think helped Jimmy Garoppolo a lot in San Francisco. He was rarely in a bad situation the year they went to the Super Bowl. You know, people gave Garoppolo a lot of credit because he just wins, but the 49ers did a great job of putting him in favorable situations. And the running game can help with that quite a bit. And I think it did help Garoppolo that year quite a bit. So you want to make sure you have a quality run game. And in some ways, these categories kind of overlap because the quality of the offensive line will also impact the quality of the run game. I have a lot of questions about the backfield the Jets have. I liked the addition of Michael Carter, but it's not really clear how good they're going to be. Again, I like the coaching staff they brought in. They're bringing in a really good run game playbook. But I am optimistic about the offensive line, but I think this is an area where there might be just too many questions for me to go above a three. I'm optimistic here because the Jets have really improved their run blocking over the last couple of years by adding Becton, adding Moses. Hopefully Vera Tucker helps in that area as well. I'd probably just go with a 3, though, just because there's so much that's unknown. But again, a 3 is better than what we've seen the last couple of years with Sam Darnold. So again, I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm going to go with a 3 there. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Friday, talking about Zach Wilson's surroundings. We're going category by category through the important aspects of a young quarterback's environment. Now we're going to get to pass catchers. And this is an area the Jets have done, I think, exceptionally well this offseason, because they've added 3 guys who I anticipate are going to be quality receiving options. They got Corey Davis in free agency on what was a reasonable deal. And Davis has succeeded in a system similar to the one the Jets are installing in Tennessee. They, of course, drafted Elijah Moore in the second round, who profiles as a guy who could really add an extra dimension to this offense. And beyond that, they improved the depth situation by adding Keelan Cole. Now you add this to Denzel Mims, who we're hoping will have an improvement in his second NFL season. And Jamison Crowder, who's still here, a quality depth player. There's quality and there's depth. Jets have both in this group, in this receiving core. And that's a very exciting thing. And you remember last year, all the injuries the Jets suffered at wide receiver. I mean, they were putting Chris Hogan on the field. That's not going to happen this year. Beyond that, you know, I go back to something I say on the offensive line. Last year, Jamison Crowder, the last 2 years, you could argue Jamison Crowder was kind of the go-to guy on this offense. And all due respect to Jamison Crowder, quality player, but not somebody your offense should be run through. Now he's kind of moving into a role that suits him better. He's more of a supporting role, where he's going to be, you know, maybe a chain mover on third downs out of the slot. That's what he needs to be. He should not be the focal point of the passing game. I think the Jets have done very well here. There's a good mix. There's a good blend of skill sets. There's good depth. Keelan Cole, who, you know, if anybody gets hurt, you now at least have a competent NFL receiver who's going to be stepping into the lineup. Jets have done very well. I'm very pleased with what Joe Douglas did. You know, it's good to still have Crowder here on a more reasonable contract. You know, he's not making as much, and that's a very good thing. The only thing I'd say is that I'm not sure there's that premium go-to guy here. That's the only thing that would prevent me from giving them a 5. So I may go like four. You could argue four and a half, because there's quality, there's depth, the skill sets fit together really well. They have a little bit of everything. I'm going to be a homer here. I'm going to go four and a half. You know, I was going to go four. I'm going to add that extra half point in just because I'm a Jets fan, because you know, we're in the very optimistic point of the season. And then the last category, which is defense. You know, I'm excited about seeing what Robert Saleh can do with this defense, even though he's going to be delegating a lot to his defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. I really like what the Jets have done on the defensive line. It's about time the team focused on the pass rush. That's that's something that's been long overdue. It's been something that's been neglected for far too long. So that, you know, that's a good thing. You know, there are lots of question marks at linebacker. How much can CJ Mosley do? How much, you know, what are we getting out of corner? That's not really clear. Jets do have some good safeties in Marcus May and LaMarcus Joyner. And, you know, it's interesting because I always argue the defense matters when you're developing a rookie. And people always disagree with me on this, but you don't want your team to constantly be playing catch-up. 60% of interceptions in the NFL are thrown by the trailing team in a game. So, you know, there's this perception out there that teams lose games because of interceptions. But you could almost argue that most interceptions are the product of the team losing, because the quarterback, when the team's behind, feels like he has to roll the dice. He feels like he has to score points. He can't play it as safe as he would if the game was tied or his team was leading. You could almost argue that more frequently the team losing games creates interceptions. In fact, almost one-third of interceptions in the NFL come when a team is behind by 10 points or more. These are things that I looked up prior to the show because I was interested in them. So you want to make sure you have a credible defense, keeping the score low. I go back to what I said about Garoppolo in 2019. His team was rarely behind in games. So he was able to play in a comfortable situation where, you know, he wasn't facing bad downs and distances. He didn't have to force balls into traffic. You know, he could take the safe play, and he had that luxury. You don't have that luxury when you're behind. Now, I think the defense is kind of a work in progress. You know, I look at the corner group. I still think, even though the defensive line looks like a strength, I still think they could use one more pass rusher. So I'd probably stick with maybe a 2.5 to a 3 or somewhere along those lines. You know, I think that this is a unit with potential, and you do have some guys like Bryce Hall who, you know, might end up surprising us, might end up playing really well, but I still think this defense is going to take some time for this defense to be built into what we're hoping it will eventually become. You know, I think that this is not a spectacular situation. It's not a dream situation, but it's very rare when you're bringing in a rookie quarterback that you put him into a purely ideal situation. I mean, that would be like Dak Prescott got in Dallas with that offensive line, or, you know, Russell Wilson in Seattle with Marshawn Lynch and that in the Legion of Boom defense his rookie season. I think the situation the Jets have put Zach Wilson in is very good, because outside of the quarterback room, which is probably the least important of these categories, there's nothing that looks like an enormous weakness. There's nothing that looks like it's at the bottom of the league. And that was not true with Sam Darnold. It's not been true with other quarterbacks. I think that there are pieces in place for Zach Wilson to have a pretty solid rookie season. And I'm excited about this team. I'm excited about the direction of this team. And one thing I want to emphasize as we head into this 2021 season, you know, it may not sound like I'm that high on the Jets. Well, I'm higher than I was a year ago. And it's not just about this year. It's about the long term. I really do feel like the Jets are starting to move in the right direction. And just the improvement they made over the offseason, you know, this time last year, a lot of these grades would be very low. They're not so low this year. They're credible. And I think that's an exciting thing. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. This is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. In case you have not figured it out, this was our first week back. I did not officially announce it, but we are back now with a new episode every day, Monday through Friday. It's a daily podcast, 5 days a week. Also, I'm sure you're probably tired of listening to me, but in case you're not, I appear on the Locked On NFL podcast today on the Locked On Podcast Network, previewing the 2021 New York Jets. I recorded that last night with the guys at Locked On NFL. It's a great show. Had a lot of fun with them. So on the off chance you're not tired of listening to me, you can go check that out today where podcasts are found. Anyway, I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be back Monday to talk more Jets.